the fourth one another, and the fifth session in our series right now on our one another work, the New Testament activity in which by which fellowship is expressed and by which fellowship occurs. So you kind of think in your mind, some of you who have been reading the Epistle of James in one of our classes will remember what James said of a double-minded man. What did it say? A double-minded man is, remember? He's unstable in all his ways. Or wishy-washy, Dennis said. He's unstable in all of his ways. James uses the imagery of being tossed about like the waves of the sea. If that's true of a man, what of a congregation? If it is double-minded or 300-minded or whatever it is, that would be a kind of instability in and of itself, wouldn't it? And in contrast to that, the next one of the one another's that we come across in Romans 12 is this one: be of the same mind toward one another. This is the way the New King James Version phrases it in this case, and it's one of several places where the same theme is touched on. And it's an idea which I can't make up my mind. Does this come in a natural progression? Are we with these one another's building on each other, or are we digging? Are we peeling the onion and digging down deeper? We've already thought about being members of one another and having a brotherly loving each other with a brotherly affection, and then preferring one another in honor, and now this one here. And just to look down through the thoughts we've offered here about this instruction is a call for the practice of a particular, not just unity, but of a particular kind of unity, a rare kind of unity. How hard would it be ordinarily to get two people to think the same way? To be minding the same things. That's a challenge about things. But to have a whole family of people or a whole body of people, which the imagery so far has suggested to us doing this is another thing. I notice the two phrases here, and you can kind of fill these in so you'll know what we touched on. This is a unity which involves, and I take this from the literal word order in the text, to think the same thing. It is same way thinking, that idea, to think the same thing. Now, that would immediately tell you that it's got to be talking about a particular kind of unity, because we wouldn't ordinarily think the same thing. Cubs got beat last night. Some of you thought that was just fine. Others of you, or at least others in our building, I don't know in this room here, didn't think it was so good. We had dinner tonight. We had a certain kind of sauce on the pasta that we had with Andy's children at our house, and I liked it, and there was a split decision on their part. It was more how much of this do I have to eat type of thing. Some of you are sitting here with blue shirts on. Some of you are sitting with red or maroon or pink or green. We like different things. This has to be talking about a particular kind of thing. One of the one of the writers I found, an older writer by the name of Hughes, says that this is Christian unity, not artificial uniformity or submission to the mind of an authoritative or authoritarian officialdom, political otherwise, which binds together. And it's unity in depth, arising in agreement in the mind. I think that's a good way to say it. And that, of course, in turn implies, how are you going to agree in your mind? You're going to agree about what's true and what isn't, you see. It's agreement where truth is concerned in that way. So that's first. And then the second part of this is to do this toward each other. Now, some of the versions will say with each other or that some phrasing like that, but to think the same thing about propositional truth, I can kind of understand. But doing this toward each other, what does that mean? Does that mean we agree that we agree with the Lord about something? Does it mean that we have the same opinion of each other? Does it mean that we don't discriminate, that we share an equal regard for each other? Or does it mean all of that? What do you think? What do you think? If this is a command, how do you fulfill it? What kind of action is it requiring of us or asking of us? How do we get better at it, Dennis?
Paul uses the expression, let us walk, and he also says, by the same rule.
Let us walk by the same rule. Is that from Philippians 3? Yeah. So, in other words, toward each other as we walk together in agreement, that would be a part of the idea, maybe, or the application of it. Let's look into the text a little bit here with this, and I've offered you some things to take with you on the study guide. This is Romans 12, first part of verse 16, and for purposes just here, I've used the New American Standard Version with this verse. Be of the same mind toward one another. Look at the two comparison translations that I've brought. Live in harmony with one another. That would be one way of understanding what these terms mean. And look at the New English Bible, not new anymore, I think 1958, but have equal regard for one another. So think of the parallels. The same mind, live in harmony, have equal regard for each other. That's a collection of phrases that kind of help. But notice the way this begins. Be of the same mind. That is an imperative. That's something that is spoken to Gene, to David, to me, to Burrell, all of us. This is instruction to us, right? This is something that we do. Now look at the other place where this phrase, in the original, I looked it up as good as I can, and these are the only two passages, this one and the one I'm about to show you, where the exact phraseology, the be of the same mind one toward another or with each other, these two places here. The other one is also in Romans, and it's in Romans 15 at verse 5. And actually 6 is included in this thought, but we'll get to 6 in a few minutes here. So look at this one now. Now may the God who gives perseverance or endurance and comfort or encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus. Now, just in terms of the way the verse says, what do you notice that's different here? This one says, be of the same mind one toward another. This one says, may God grant you, may God give you to be of the same mind one with another according to Christ Jesus. Now, do you notice any partnership that's implied in that thought? The kind of same-mindedness that we're talking about will have at least two inputs, two centers of action. One is what we do, one is the help of God. One God grants. You see, this is like a benediction or a blessing that might be granted to a group of Christians who come together in service to the Lord. One voice in the next verse indicates that, I think. So may God grant you in this experience to be of the same mind one to another, to live in harmony with each other, the ESV says. Here are parallel translations here. The New King James, grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. And then the NIV, give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Jesus Christ had. The reason that last phrase is translated that way, the reason the according to Jesus is translated that way, is it's brought up the example of Jesus in this context. Verse 3. Christ did not please himself. And then it talks about how this is in fulfillment of the scriptures which were written for our patience and comfort. And then in verse 5, it encourages us to allow God to give us the same mind. So the anchor point of it is Christ Jesus. And then there's what we are to be, and then there's what God gives us. And with the anchor being the behavior of Christ, the action of people who want to imitate Him with the help and the blessing of God who grants them to be, then the kind of unity, spiritual unity, that we're talking about becomes possible. Luis. Yeah.
Why do we get stuck with people more spot or into?
All right. That's a good point. And really in this context where we are, if you try to get back to where we started, really in Romans 12 verses 1 and 2, this is the renewing of the mind that comes when people are responding to the mercies of God in Christ Jesus. That's where Louis says the starting point is, and I think that's a good point. Our time will get away from us tonight. I want to try to ask you to see the whole picture of this here. In other places, we're instructed to mind the same things. The one another is not mentioned in these passages I'm about to show you. And they say something more like, have the same mind in yourselves. Not toward each other, but in yourselves. Have the same mind in yourself. The first one of these is 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. And this is an interesting verse where really five different terms. Finally, brothers, rejoice. It either will say, be perfect, be perfected, or aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Then agree with one another. And that's this phrase here. Live in peace. Agree with one another. And the other versions translate it, be of one mind, or be like-minded, or agree in yourselves. That would be the be of a like mind in yourselves. And I want to return to this thought in a few minutes, but just be aware, that's one of the places. Another one is in Philippians 2 and verse 2. And this is one of several places in Philippians where the issue of the Christian mind is brought up. This one is a more comprehensive statement than most of the others. And I've given you, this is all run together there, but really down to the first semicolon, that's the way the English Standard Version translates it. And then the last example, starting with being, is the way the New American Standard Bible translates it. And here's the way it is in the ESV. Complete my joy by being of, and now notice this, by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. Notice how it starts by say by being of the same mind, and it ends by saying of one mind. You get the idea? And the phrase in between that says being in full accord is a term that means being of one soul. Being one, you know, one personality almost in that way, one soul, being of the same mind, be of the same love, being full accord, and be of one mind. And then notice the New American Standard translates the last two phrases, united in spirit and intent on one purpose. I think that might shed a little light on this. And then the third passage is 1 Peter 3 and verse 8. So if you count up now, we've called our attention to five passages. Two of them have being the same mind with one another, and the other three talk about having the same mind in ourselves or among ourselves. Finally, all of you, this Peter says, have unity of mind, ESV. Have unity of mind. Have one mind. Be of one mind. Be, New American Standard, be harmonious. Have sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. And a lot of these verses, you can tell what one thing means by just comparing it with the company it keeps. Have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Isn't it interesting that unity of mind and a humble mind seem to go together? I think that's probably a point worth noticing. Now, here is the part of this I want us to reflect on a little bit. That's the foundation. When you go back and look at these passages, something starts to stand out to you, at least to me. I've spent a lot of time last 2 days wrestling with this, and really 3 days. But the settings of these instructions will tell you something about the discipline that's exercised here. We use the word discipline, it's easy to think of talking about punishment or correction. That's not what I mean. I'm talking about actually the devoting ourselves to something or holding ourselves to something. And if you look at the circumstances in which this one-mindedness or thinking the same things comes up, where it belongs is the hardest places for it to happen. For example, when we're attending to the responsibilities of life, if you think about Romans 12 and Romans 13, really, but then 1 Peter 3, it's talking about all the hard things. How do you get along with your husband? How do you get along with your wife? How do you get along with your boss? How do you get along with the government? How do you get along with your enemies? In both of these passages, it says, Christians, you guys need to be of the same mind if you're going to succeed at that. While you're attending to your responsibilities, approach it with the same Christian mind, a way of thinking. And that the next one is when we are engaging in the worship of God, trying to keep our minds on the same track, trying to be one in mind about this is a challenge to it that we overlook. We think in terms of whether worship is scriptural. We think in terms of how the ones leading us in that particular occasion, maybe how effective they were at it, whether that was a theme or a topic that appealed to us. But listen to this from Romans 15 again. I'll read 5 and 6 from the ESV. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The object of it, the object of being of the same mind, is to be able to glorify God with one voice. I read one of Barclay's comments. He said, it's impossible for a church to worship the God of peace and the spirit of bitterness. He has a point, doesn't he? The third thing, when we are mending problems in relationship. Take a look back there at 2 Corinthians 13 for just a second. A lot of you know that 2 Corinthians is the most personal of Paul's letters, and he deals with a lot of different hurts in it. And if you look at 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11, it just looks like a nice, gentle, encouraging statement. Things to do. That's where we're told to agree with one another. But look back at 12:20. And you see the true situation here. Paul says, for I fear that perhaps when I come, I may find you not as I wish, and that you may find me not as you wish, that perhaps there may be quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder. So agree with one another in the Lord. Easy, right? Be of the same mind. Do you see what he's asking of his readers there, and what he's asking of us? All of those things, quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder. That's about as opposite of being like-minded as you could be. But that's where this work is to be done, and correcting those things. And then when we are striving for the faith, or when we're working, when we're engaged in work for the Lord, when our hearts are on fire, when we are serving, when we're exhausting ourselves and trying to do things on behalf of the faith of the gospel, what happens? We get stressed, we get frustrated, one doesn't think the other one is doing his part, we get crossways with each other, we can't see why one person doesn't care about this program the same way I care about this program. You guys don't need to act like you've never heard that stuff. I know what's in Philippians 1:27, he says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. The word that's translated mind in this verse in the English versions is the word translated soul, usually. One psyche, that idea. And that's a challenge when the work's going on. You have your pet project, I have mine. One cares about the youth, one cares about the older folks, one cares about the teaching, one cares about the visiting, one cares about works of mercy, one cares about evangelism. All of it needs people who are of one mind. All of it. And then when we're dealing with a person, when we have to put a name to it, it's to talk about being of one mind in general, that's wonderful. But what if you call it Todd? Or Tom? You see, that's the situation. If Orrin and Nadine weren't here, I'd tell you that something I read one time. I can get along with anybody in the world. It's the people across the street that I have trouble with. And it's not them. It's kind of like Bill last week and who sat behind him. But you see the point, though, right? And it has to have a name to it. It has to start with somebody with a face. And somebody who may have his own personality and temperament and his odd ways and that kind. Here in Philippians, it looks like it was two ladies. In Philippians 4:2, I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. And actually, the other versions will translate to be like-minded or one mind in the Lord. How do they do that? How do we do it? How do we improve at it? I got like 5 minutes left and about half the material on your paper. I'm glad I wrote some of it down so you can take it with you and think about it. So let me offer these five sources of the things that will nourish mutual mind. If you think about this, we need mutual affection, we need mutual esteem, we need a mutual thinking. That's what we've kind of looked at in these last three classes. First thing is to recognize this as a real aspect of our faith. This is not where you either decide, well, I'm going to be sound in the truth, and if I ever get around to it, I'll get interested in being of one mind with my brothers and sisters. This is the truth. And it's a part of recognizing it in that way. It's what the Lord wants. It's what He makes possible. It is possible through the faith of Christ. If we're going to be the New Testament church, the one thing which has injured the restoration ideal more than anything else than the inability, unwillingness of brothers and sisters to be one-minded. And that's the we've got to recognize it as an aspect of our faith. Learn of Christ. Learn Christ for this purpose. There in these passages we've read, we've had agree in Him, adopt His attitude, act according to His example. I found some writer who put it this way. Christian unity is unity in Christ. The person of Christ Himself is the focus of our unity. And therefore, the more we agree with Him about Him, the more we will agree with one another in Him. That's a good way to say it. That's what I'm talking about. So learn Christ not just to be for curiosity or not to be just an academic expert on it, but in order to be drawn together. When you know the anchor to all of it, then pray specifically for God's help in this area. I thought about this. I don't know if I've ever led a prayer in which I asked the Father to give us one mind. And that's only half of it. I don't believe I've ever heard anybody lead a prayer toward that effect. I have heard us ask for God's help in loving one another, which I realize would be an aspect of this, but may God help us, God please help us to live in harmony so that we can glorify You with one voice. That'd be worthwhile, wouldn't it? Ask Him specifically. Make a personal effort at it. And this is the one thing about these one another's, that the one thing we'll have to say in every class is, I'm the one it's talking to. This is not for other people. By nature of the fact, one another means I initiate, I respond to, we all have to be the initiating forces in this. Always ask yourself, with any question, with any idea, with any study, whatever, what is there here that we can agree about? What is there here that helps us to foster a mutual outlook on things? And then keep a common objective in any work done. You know, we need to be... Give me just a second. We need to be reminded about this one, probably. You know, it's not just the interest of a particular group or a particular work. More is at stake than getting something done. It's that we have to act like we are together in the Lord's book of life. We have to act like we belong on the same list in that way. All right, I gave you too much material, but take some time this week and think about that. I want to ask Gene just to stand up here and lead us in a prayer, and remember Gene again, the ones we've mentioned earlier who need a place in our prayers tonight. Thank you guys all for being with us. Gene.